Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who can still look intimidating in leg warmers, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Great to have you with me on a Tuesday night for hour number two as we dive into all things entertaining. About to turn our attention to Division III sports here in Wisconsin, where we are apparently dominating. The UW system is crushing it, specifically the girls. Papa Rico says, Nacho Cheese Doritos should have their own national day. I would imagine he is right about that in terms of popularity. I think ranch is kind of all the rage right now, but I could see that, Papa Rico. I'm surprised that hasn't been guessed yet or suggested yet. Okay, so we're going to turn our attention to college sports here in Wisconsin, where apparently There's a lot of news, and here to bring us up to speed is Civic Media Sports Director and Digital Content Director, Jimmy Kuska. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Pete. Great to be back on here with you.
Oh, it's great to have you, buddy. And especially since I've been reading your posts about basketball, and I'm like, this is like becoming a phenomenon here this year, especially with the boys, especially with the women. Tell us what, I know there's three women's teams in the Sweet 16 for Division III. Oshkosh, Stout, and Whitewater have all advanced to the semifinals. Tell us what's going on there. Is this a first?
It's not a first. The WIAC has had a really strong tradition in basketball, but women's basketball in Wisconsin from the high school ranks up through the college ranks has been very deep and very successful over the past 10 to 15 to 20 years. And really, when you look in the WIAC, pretty much since its inception, has had a really good run with women's sports. And in recent memory with women's basketball, it was only just a couple of years ago that I was the broadcaster for UW Whitewater when their women's team went all the way to the national championship game. Well, on the way, they had to play UW Oshkosh on the way to that in an Elite Eight game. So this is not unprecedented. These teams, the teams of the WIAC that make the tournament in women's hoops tend to do well. And once you know it, Whitewater is hosting another Sweet 16 Elite Eight pod with another WIAC team in the fold this year.
That is crazy. How do you, when you're calling a game like that and you're a fan and you're just a sports fan, but do you get excited? Is it hard to keep your composure when you're cheering for a Wisconsin team and calling the game?
So for me, this has been a long time for me covering college sports in Wisconsin. I'm in my 22nd year covering the WIAC. Wow. I started with Eau Claire, then Stout, then Whitewater, now with Platteville. And one of the things about this role that I think is really hard to describe to people is that when you're a broadcaster at a small college, it's particularly ones that have a lot of success, is that it's not like being at a major school where you're going to have a whole state's worth of followers, right? Where you're going to be a household name, right? Not a lot of people know who you are in small sports, in small college sports, right? But what's great is that when I'm at an arena, the people that see me day to day, the student section sees me every game, you know, the players get to recognize me. So one of the cool things in my role, over the years, and especially this year with Platteville, is that I get to fist bump the officials, the players, the coaches as they go through the line. And, you know, I get to see, you know, a lot of the fans that come through. And this was a first for me. This happened in the game that UW Platteville won on Saturday in men's hoops to advance to the Sweet 16. During the second half, in an attempt to get me to acknowledge them with a wave on the live stream, the student section started chanting my name. So,
oh, nice. Oh, that's so cool. Is there a favorite of the three teams? I mean, Oshkosh has the best record, but or Whitewater, I guess. Whitewater actually technically has the best record, but are any of those three teams favored?
You know, you'd really have to just look at it like this, that a lot of times when you look at a Division III tournament, the teams that have geographical advantages getting to host are the teams that tend to do the best. And I know that sounds like I'm stating the extreme obvious, right? But in Division III, it's not always the highest seed that gets to host. In NCAA Division III, hosts are determined by a few other factors, and a lot of them financial. For example, if you're outside of a 500-mile radius of where that building is, the NCAA has to pay for a flight for you. And they try to avoid that at all costs, right? So, you know, in the pod that UW Platteville is in men's hoops, for example, it's the number two seed hosting because Indiana is smack dab between Missouri, Wisconsin, and Ohio. So in the side of the women's case, you asked for the favorite. I would say it's Whitewater just by virtue of the fact that they are hosting the first four games of the NCAA tournament, much like they did 2 years ago when they made the run to Pittsburgh and played in the national championship.
That, wow, that's interesting. So it's all more about economics in the Division III landscape, I guess.
Well, when you talk about Division III and NCAA, there's three divisions, and about a sliver of that, the money in all of NCAA, you know, what they fund these sports with, a sliver of that goes to D3, a little over 3%, I believe. So it's not, you know, it's something they have to be aware of, given that a lot of the schools are packed in the northeastern part of the country, and you know, also the fact that there's a whole lot of NCAA institutions.
So it's interesting. It says Stout will make its first Sweet 16 appearance since 2006. Whitewater secured its third straight Sweet 16 appearance. Which are all of these powerhouses, or are just because it looks like Oshkosh is just like a fourth, their 11th Sweet 16.
Oshkosh and Whitewater, I would say you could definitely call them among the Blue Bloods in terms of historical success. What Coach Carolla is doing at Whitewater, amazing. What Coach Fisher is doing at Oshkosh, amazing. When those two teams get together, those games are a lot of fun in women's basketball. It's played at a very high level. Wisconsin, as I said, is very deep in women's basketball, but these are very, very high levels. And Stout has had a new head coach, Coach Iverson, for the past few years, who's really built this program to a point where, you know, now this year, they actually had a stretch this year where they had a long losing streak in the middle of the year. Nobody really knew if they were going to be able to bounce back from losing a bunch of games in a row in the middle of the conference season, right?
Yeah.
But now here they are. They blitz through the conference tournament. Now they find themselves in the Sweet 16. So, you know, Stout was a little bit more of a rebuild, I guess, from a long-term, very highly successful coach who had been there forever. You know, the new head coach kind of building back to this point. But in the case of Whitewater and Oshkosh, yes, they are definitely powerhouse programs.
My guest is Civic Media Sports Director and Digital Content Director Jimmy Cuska, talking Division III sports with us here in Wisconsin. Let's turn our attention, Jim. Actually, first, before we move on to the men, where can people find the articles you post? Let's put that out there so people can find it on the website easily.
Sure. Well, any of the stations you're listening to, you can find all of our work. Our news team, right now we're putting up, you know, close to a dozen articles a day right now. Jeez. So civicmedia.us or any of our news websites around the company. We have, I believe we're up to 20 stations, 20 something stations. So we've got a lot of local content. A lot of these stories are locally sourced and locally written by reporters right where you live.
And I love this too. Just reading about the Division III stuff this week, when I asked you to come on, it's like, it's hard to find this stuff. You can go to ESPN and you can click on, and you'll eventually find it. But when it's right there with local media, it's so fun when you can read about it. And there's something about a team catching fire at the right time and packing into a small gymnasium at a Division III school. Sports does not get any better than that. That's so great.
Yeah, small college hoops for me, for my money, it's the price of admission is basically nothing, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's $10, but I was in, you know, a first two rounds of the NCAA tournament in Platteville last weekend, where one of the opponent schools was from 15 miles away. So now you have competing student sections, a house that is standing room only, and an atmosphere that rivals just about anything you'll find at this level.
That's so fun. Okay, let's turn our attention to the UW Platteville men's basketball team. I saw this, and I didn't, just doing some research. UW schools in Division III have won 13 of the last, I want to say, 35 or 40 championships in Division III. That's pretty incredible.
Right. And if you're talking about UW Platteville specifically, of course, a lot of people associate UW Platteville's success historically with Bo Ryan, who coached there in the 1990s. And that's what launched him to being with Milwaukee and then eventually the Wisconsin Badgers, and now potentially into the Naismith College Basketball Hall of Fame. But he won national titles with Platteville in the 90s, four of them. And now here we are sitting in 2024, 25 years since the last one. And Jeff Gard, the brother of current Badgers coach Greg Gard, is the head man at Platteville. They're in their 15th NCAA tournament and looking for national title number 5 this week in Indiana.
So what are their chances, do you think?
A lot of people looked at Platteville as kind of an upset, trendy pick in the first couple of rounds. In fact, a lot of the picks, and granted, this is a very small community of people on social media. As you mentioned, it's hard to find a lot about D3 sports. D3 Hoops, D3 Football, et cetera, the D3 Sports Network is one of the best places to go for that. But a lot of people that were picking games were looking at Platteville as an upset favorite in the first couple of rounds against Bethany Lutheran, a team that had won 17 games in a row going into the tournament. And then against Loras, a team that was coming out of the very difficult American Rivers Conference, which is primarily Iowa schools. They handled both of those teams to make it this far. And Platteville's record has four losses in it. Two of those were on buzzer beaters to UW Stevens Point, a squad that started three freshmen in both of the games against them. It happens. The WIAC is a very tough league, but those were the two losses during the year. Those were half the losses they had. The other two came against top 15 teams.
That's so great. And you mentioned before, Jim, the Badgers and Bo Ryan. He should have won a national championship. That game in 2015 still hurts.
Yeah.
They should have won that
Badgers
game.
Fans. Yeah, it hurts me, man, thinking about it. I think a lot of Badger fans would agree that one really, of all the losses we've had in Wisconsin sports, I'm not sure there's one that really sticks with me as much as that one, because that was Wisconsin's, you know?
Yeah, and it was there. I felt like, I don't know if they'll ever get closer to that. I hope they do. It doesn't seem like they will under the current regime, but man, I brought my kids to Madison for that. And the game was right there. And as much as like you and I probably struggle with that, I bet Bo Ryan, boy, he must have some sleepless nights to this day, you know?
My goodness. I just think back to that year and you know, it wasn't even a lightning in the bottle situation. This was a program, a team that had developed legitimate stars for that moment. And then just to fall short in that game with whatever you want to blame it on, but just not win. I think that is, if you point out a loss, I think people who are more fans of the Packers will probably point to one of the Packers, you know, championship losses, right? But I think for people who are fans of just all things Wisconsin, the Badgers not getting the national title is one that definitely is up there.
That was still rough to this day. Can you stick around and talk a little TV for a couple minutes, Jim?
Absolutely.
All right. My guest is Jimmy Cusco. We'll be right back. We're going to find out what Jimmy's watching. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. April 6, 2015, final score, Duke 68, Wisconsin 63. That's still, and we can blame the refs, Jim. It's okay. I think we can safely say they threw Krzyzewski a bone in that one. But anyway, Jimmy Cuska's here for a few more minutes. We're talking to Jim. Hey, do you think Platteville, is there a favorite? They play Case Western March 14th in the semifinals. Favored, go either way. What do you think there?
I think Platteville in their pod is probably one of the two favorites. The host Trine is the other, obviously.
Oh, nice.
I think those two are pretty even to go. I think Platteville gets undervalued a little bit, like I said, because of the two buzzer beater losses in conference play. So personally, rooting interest, I'm wearing the axe here. I'm hoping Platteville can get through and play in the Final Four in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Are these games televised?
They are streamed online. The NCAA championships in Division III are going to be produced by ESPN in future years. So for now, your options are Webstream or ESPN Plus.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So let's pivot a little bit to another form of entertainment. Jim, are you watching any cool TV shows or have you seen any good movies?
So right now I'm kind of in backlog mode. You know, so there's been some shows I missed out and like. during the pandemic, my kids were very young, so I didn't get to watch a lot of TV where I could really invest my time into it. A lot of kids' shows were on TV, so I got to be very familiar with TV shows like Blippi. So when you're a parent of young kids, you get to watch a lot of that. But a show that I had always been meaning to catch up to, and I just started watching a couple weeks ago, and I've already gotten a few seasons in, is Suits, which is a show that was debuted, I think, in 2011, somewhere around there. It ran for quite a while. Obviously, it's not running now. But it was a show that had been recommended to me a lot. And, you know, it comes off for me after watching a few of the Marvel shows that had come from Netflix to Disney Plus, like Daredevil. So that was like a lawyer-y show. So Suits kind of fit that kind of the same thing. It's a lawyer comedy drama kind of thing. So and it's been nice. I mean, it's been a few seasons. So that's the I'm in mid-binge of that show right now.
Nice. It's always nice when you discover a show and you like it, and there's like eight seasons, and you're like, okay, right. My dance card is full for the next few months. And the lead in that show, I just watched like the pilot episode, I guess, like 2 weeks ago, and I liked it. I'll probably go back to it. But the lead in that show reminds me of what's his name from Animal House, Eric Stratton, played by Tim Matheson. Just kind of that, or Chevy Chase, that wisecracking, always one eye kind of to the camera, but it's very enjoyable. I did like it.
Definitely. And I think that sometimes, you know, when you watch a show, like you know, sometimes when you look at the casting, there are certain casting roles where, you know, that role was, it almost perfectly fits an actor. And I think in this case, I think this is one of those cases, because that show is carried by that actor.
Absolutely.
I think talking about Gabriel Mock, but he carries that show, and it has enough depth to it too, where it's not just a silly procedural. Some of those type of shows I can't stand, but this one actually has different storylines that kind of layer, which makes it carry over season to season. So
absolutely. Any of the movies? Have you seen any of the Oscar movies?
I really haven't. The issue for me, again, young children, is that if I'm going to the movies, it's typically going to be for something that is animated. So those are the kind of movies that I get to enjoy in a theater. Now, when they come, when they become available on streaming services, I have all the time in the world to take them in. So several months down the road. But no, unfortunately for me, being the parent of kids that are ones in preschool and ones in second grade. If I'm going to the movies, it's going to be something animated.
You know, those are such great films though. And I have such great memories watching those with my kids. Like they truly are like the Toy Stories and Cars and Nemo and The Incredibles. They're just such great memory makers. So there's nothing wrong with that for sure. But
no, we've got a big one coming up, because Kung Fu Panda 4 is coming out in theaters. So that's the next one up for us.
A highly anticipated Kung Fu Panda 4. I love it. You're such a sports guy. Do you have a favorite sports movie? I may have asked you this before, but what are your favorite sports films?
You know, I think you have asked me this in the past, you know, and I think a lot of sports movies can, and you know, there's definitely certain genres within sports movies where things fall into. But I for me, the one that I come back to, if I need a sports movie, if I'm going to show it to the football team I coach, right, it's going to be Miracle. That's the one I always come back to.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're against the odds and you have to dig deep to do something incredible, right? Nobody's believing in you. You got to overcome the odds. Miracle's the one I go back to. And then, and part of it too is because there are obviously Wisconsin ties to that team.
Yeah.
So, one of them is coaching Badgers women's hockey program. They're on another, you know, probably another deep playoff run this year.
Yeah.
So with Mark Johnson. So that's the movie for me that I go back to. But if you're talking like, it's guilty pleasure, I'm flipping through a TV at night, I don't, whatever, you'll definitely catch me finding some, you know, something goofy, some really bad, something that's going to make the Oscars or award shows, but it might be Varsity Blues. It could be Happy Gilmore. I want to find something where I can turn my brain off and just laugh for a while.
Yeah. You got to do that sometimes too. No question about it. I'm going to give you a recommendation. And I told this to Mike Clemens. He's coming up next. It's a documentary called Long Shot, and it's 40 minutes long. Your kids would probably even like it, even especially your older one, at least. A guy wrongfully accused of a crime has to prove he was at a Dodger game while the crime happened, threw his tickets out, and the way they prove it is so great. I highly recommend it. And the next time you come back, I don't want to say it's homework, Jim, but I would love to discuss that with you.
All right. Well, it is now in my Netflix queue for in the middle of my mid-binge of Suits then.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, Jim, have a great night. Thanks so much for your time. Always fun, buddy.
Pete, it's great to be on here with you. Thank you so much.
You got it. Keep up the great work. That's Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media's own sports director and digital content director. Check out Jimmy's work on the website. He does just phenomenal work, and he's an excellent reporter as well. So, Conrad, what am I? Okay, so people can watch on YouTube, Facebook. We got to get this down. Okay, we have the stream up.
Yes.
And I didn't shower today because of my back. This is the first time. This is a milestone. I have not showered today because my back was in that much pain.
You need to get one of those chairs for your, shower.
I have a little seat, and sometimes, like in most Februarys, it's fun just to sit there in the hot water. This February is a little different, but we have to let people know. You can watch us on Google, or on YouTube. Go to the Civic Media YouTube page.
Yep.
Or the Nightlight Facebook page, right? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, the Nightlight with Pichuaba Facebook page, the WGBW Facebook page, and the WGBW Twix page.
Twix page. Twitter, formerly known as Twitter.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say about that. So, yeah, join us on the stream. It's like watching TV, and we don't have our TV yet. We still don't have our TV on. Do we have to call the guy? Do I have to get him to turn the light off again to see if it – oh, look at John Mino is in the window with Christy. And, I mean, Mino's on for 2 hours in the morning.
3 hours now.
3 hours now. Check out that show. It's a great show. Mino and the Mayor is so much fun. And then he stops in here a lot. And then when he's coming back from the bars or the restaurants or whatever, he bangs on the window. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. I'm a John Mino fan and a Christy Barlamin fan. Christy has gotten us some really fun guests. Ben Chen is going to be here Monday. He is on a Jeopardy run, I guess, like, you wouldn't even believe. He'll be here next Monday on Nightlight. Tomorrow we got a fun show, too. Jay Finnerty will be here from UWGB. Anya Esther will be here to give us a report on the latest U2 concert, which is supposedly just an incredible spectacle. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight. When we come back, the one and only Mike Clemens joins us and will tell us about all the things we missed at the Combine and what he ran the 40 in. That's next on Nightlight with Pichuaba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll... Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pichuaba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba. Welcome back to the final quadrant of Nightlight for this Tuesday, March 5, 2024, year of our Lord. So this is exciting. I always love having this next guest on. He knows more about sports than I have in my pinky. No, his pinky knows more about sports than Conrad and I put together. Something like that. But he's a great guy, and he is a sports aficionado here at Civic Media. Mike Clemens joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Mike.
How are you, Pete?
I'm great. It's been a while. Great to have you back, buddy.
Oh, appreciate it. Busy. We spent a week in Vegas covering Super Bowl 58, and then all last week we're in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Do you know what that event is all about?
I sure do. You know, there was a time in my life when we first moved back to Wisconsin, I had a couple years. I took a little sabbatical for a couple years, and both years I watched, I think, every event of the Combine. I find it fascinating.
I'll tell you, I was there in the last year, and this year is the first year they actually let the media in, and they've been starting to let in fans to watch it because it was very closed before that, and they would post times and how many guys benched and all that. They would just have numbers they posted in the newsroom. But Roger Goodell is always figuring out ways to take things that they've had in the NFL and turn it into a TV show, like the NFL Honors Show.
It's incredible.
And he loads that with things like, it used to be you'd be at Super Bowl, and there'd be the week leading up, and then on Saturday morning, the day before the game, the writers, maybe they'd go to the Bart Starr breakfast, which would be a charity fundraiser, and someone would get a sort of a Man of the Year award. Then they would go over back to the media center in a closed room conference room and for about 3 hours debate whether these next seven or eight players should be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They take their vote. Then that afternoon, they would call these players, or some of them, they'd flown into town and had hotel rooms, and they'd knock on the door and say, hey, guess what? Your congratulations, Hall of Fame. They'd bring them to the convention center. We'd sit there, and we'd get to talk to these guys. Like, one of the last ones for the Packers before Jerry Kramer was Dave Robinson, a linebacker for Lombardi. And so there, I'm talking one-on-one with Dave Robinson or Ron Wolf when he got in as a general manager of the Packers Saturday afternoon. That's all been moved to the Honors Show on Thursday night behind a theater.
Wow.
You know, it's like there's fewer press access things and more things like that that they can, you know, get on TV. As a matter of fact, Goodell moved the week of the Super Bowl. He moved his commissioner's press conference, which is like an annual thing, and it's been open to all the media, and anybody from any town can ask the NFL commissioner a question live on TV. He moved it. He moved it to Mondays and by invite only, reporters invite only. And Peter King, the longtime reporter for Sports Illustrated, now NBC, wrote a scathing column the next day, like, what are these guys are making more money than ever before.
Yeah.
And they're getting tighter and tighter sometimes with the access. And the following week, Peter retired at the age of 66 after 45 years of covering the NFL, just said, you know what, here's where I get off. So there's been those kinds of things going on. But at the scouting combine, they bring in like 321 athletes. Not every one of them can get drafted. Some will be undrafted, but they, if people have seen, you know, they run the 40-yard dash. They run shuttle races. They catch passes. They lift weights. And they show their athleticism, the measurables, as the scouts call them. And it's an idea of a guy that came from Wisconsin, the great Gil Brandt, who went to UW-Madison with Crazy Legs Hirsch, a famous wide receiver like in the 1940s.
Yeah.
And then he got a job with the Rams as a wide receiver. I think he's the one that dated Jane Russell for a while.
Oh.
No, that was a quarterback. That was another quarterback. But Elroy Hirsch brought along his like roommate, Gil Brandt, out to the Rams to learn to be a scout. Then later, Gil hooked up with a new franchise in Dallas called the Texans. Then they changed it to the Cowboys. He worked for Tom Landry and the Cowboys for 28 years,
jeez,
getting Roger Staubach and all those players that they had from the 60s to the late 80s before Jerry Jones took over. So then Gil, back in the 80s, said, you know, there's got to be an easier way than us teams having to fly our scouts and coaches all around the country to chase these guys at their pro days, their workout days at college. So he came up with the concept, like, let's put it in a central location, like, let's say Indianapolis and the convention center there, and everybody can fly in to a central location. But once again, Roger Goodell, and, you know, there's a lot of whiffs that he wants to move it to L.A., SoFi Stadium. The NFL Network's new studios of the last couple of years are right across the street.
Oh.
And again, make it even more of a TV show out in L.A.
Jeez. I mean, I get, like, the NFL, they're geniuses. I mean, they've got this free agency starts in a week, and then you've got, you know, the draft. They have like 6 weeks off, right, Mike? Aren't you working through the draft, and then you get a little break, I would assume, before training camp starts?
Not really. There's always a story developing. There's one down period, and that's maybe a couple of days after the Super Bowl, and then they do go fishing in mid-July.
Okay.
You know, they close the books. This is when you see the coaches actually, you know, get on a plane and take the kids to Disney World or something, like in mid-July, and then they get back a week before, and then training camps open around July 27th or so, and then they're back on another calendar year. So Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting there at Lucas Oil Stadium after a week of interviews with all the quarterbacks, the running backs, all these position players, and general managers and some coaches. Great media access. It's a convention. You know, you've gone to like a film festival or like a media conclave, right? It's the same thing. We're all in the same building and can compare notes or gather in circles and have some conversations. And so that part is really the best part for me. You sort of see now as teams form, like, well, this coach quit. And like Jim Harbaugh, you know, he's left Michigan,
yeah,
and now he's gotten out to the Chargers, and so you can see Harbaugh and his staff gathering and sort of get a, you know, mental picture of what the new Chargers coaching staff is going to look like. we heard a great Harbaugh story. A kid who played defensive back for him at Michigan was asked at the podium, you know, what are the Chargers in for? What kind of guy is Jim Harbaugh? He said, I don't know, there's so many stories. I goes, all right, how about this? He goes, you know, it was like my freshman year, and I'm walking into the facility, and we have a place with a cold tub, cold water tub. We call it the car wash. So after you've been in the hot tub or you got a massage or whatever, then you go into the cold tub. He says, I walked by and I did a double take because I looked in and there's Coach Harbaugh in the cold tub with the cap, the glasses, the whistle around the neck, the sweatshirt, the famous khaki pants, and his shoes, soaking in the cold tub.
He is something else. Jeez.
And he looked up at him and the kid said, hi, Coach. Just kind of give him a wave and kept walking down the hallway.
That's great.
You know, that's what Harbaugh, he's just weird, man.
He is a character.
He's weird. So Saturday afternoon, I'm watching these guys, and then there's this kid named Xavier Worthy out of Texas,
yeah,
a wide receiver.
I was going to ask you about that.
His second attempt, he runs a 4.21 40, brand new record. And as he burst through and he looked up at the scoreboard and they had, you know, had a sense that maybe he had set that record or at least tied it. It's unofficial at first. He just kind of kept on running, and the 15,000 fans were there, jumped up in the stands. They gave him a standing ovation.
Oh, nice.
And it was just a really cool moment. And I'm taking the binoculars, and I'm looking in the suites up there. And, you know, Mark Murphy, he doesn't have to be there. He sat through that thing for 7 hours watching these kids run the shuttle, run the 40s, and all that, along with Gudikins and Jerry Jones. He doesn't have to be there for all that. He was there for every minute. So it was a long day, but it shows what it takes. These guys, this is they're digging for gold, man.
Yeah.
This is where their future is, and they want to see every frame of evidence of these players before they draft them in April.
My guest is sports reporter extraordinaire Mike Clemens here at Civic Media. Mike, so Xavier Worthy, I've heard on some podcasts after he set that record that he propelled himself probably into the first round. Like that 4.21 probably made him a couple million bucks maybe.
Although if you're Brian Gutekunst, I've been looking at tape of this kid for the last 3 years. I've been looking at his high school tape, and they'll decide, is he smart? Is he a good kid? And can he catch the football? He must catch the football first.
Right.
So there's plenty of guys that go to the combine and are track stars, but you know, they don't necessarily pan out.
Right.
One might be Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you know, who has a problem dropping the football. And last week, the Chiefs ended up dropping him after 2 years. But whatever, there's no question he's moved up his value. Because people will say, maybe we could use him as a kick returner. You got to find a way to put that kind of athleticism on your field, if at least special teams.
Did you see your reporter senses give you any indication of where the Packers are sniffing around, Mike, or who they were watching?
Yeah, a buddy of mine went down and covered the Senior Bowl, which is right a few days before we went to Las Vegas to start our coverage of Super Bowl. And he said, hey, your boys, Brian Gutekunst and John Eric Sullivan, John's one of his assistants, they got down on the field first day of practice, standing at the 25-yard line before even the players were out there. And then when the players came out of the tunnel for this first practice and people were watching from the stands, and so the scouts as well, he said all the defensive backs went right to the spot where they were. So they were there first in line to see the defensive backs. And, you know, Green Bay just hired a defensive backs coach in Jeff Hafley out of Boston College to be their new defensive coordinator, replacing Joe Barry. And when we got to meet with Jeff, and LaFleur introducing him about a week and a half ago, that's the whole thing. It's like, you know what? We need to focus on the secondary. The NFL is a passing game. I'm bringing in a secondary expert to be my next defensive coordinator. And between injuries and just lack of quality of players that they had going into last year, they knew they had those problems. They've got, I think they got 11 picks, but what's amazing is they've got 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. Thanks to trades like to the Jets and that kind of thing for Aaron Rodgers. And so they've got a lot of draft capital, as they say, to help themselves. They could pick up at least 2 defensive backs who would probably go right in and start right away for the Packers alongside Jaire Alexander.
Wow. When you go, just based on what I've heard, Mike, the combine just sounds like a really fun atmosphere. And people go into bars and restaurants at night. Is there interaction with players and coaches by guys like you in the media, or is it mostly like the media is over here, the NFL administrators are over there, the players are over there? How does that work?
Unfortunately, you know, it's become more of the latter. There's less interaction.
Oh, okay.
And a couple of years ago, Bill Belichick said, you know, I'm not going anymore.
Huh.
Okay. Well, that's like the voice of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to go. I got scouts. I don't have to go there.
Right.
And then Sean McVay, the young head coach of the Rams, a guy that, you know, that Matt LaFleur has worked alongside, he's decided, I don't need to be there. I've got a general manager I can trust. That's something for the scouting department. And I talked to one assistant coach who used to work in Green Bay, who's now with the Cardinals. I said, what's going on? Why, you know, aren't you guys involved in the interviews and the questions? Don't you want to see these kids as much as you can, because they may end up being your players? He goes, yeah, you know, the assistant coaches used to call this spring break. The scouting department is down here, man, with their stopwatches and their clipboards and tablets. And we act interested, and then we go out and drink at night and swap stories, you know, from other teams. And that's exactly what LaFleur doesn't want going on. So it's like, you know what? You guys can stay back in Green Bay for the week, and we'll see our families at night, and we'll work on playbooks and things like that. And we'll let the scouting department handle it. Although I do know the one important coach was there, because I saw him in the hallway and said, hi. And it's Rich Bisaccia, assistant head coach, special teams coordinator for Matt LaFleur. And no doubt he wants to be down there because he needs to improve and eyeball some of these kids, you know, like that Xavier Worthy with 4-2-1, to help him out on special teams.
It's so funny. I saw some highlights from the combine this year. And when you see 340-pound guys running a 4.9 or a 5.1,
right,
it's pretty scary to think you can't even outrun those guys. Mike, can you stick around for a couple minutes? I want to find out what you're watching.
Bet.
All right. We'll be back next with more of Mike Clemens on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. A few more minutes here with Mike Clemens. Mike, the Bucks have won 6 in a row since the All-Star break. What do you attribute this to? They're so streaky.
Well, I'll tell you, Doc Summers is hired, and then all of a sudden they're like 2-7.
Yeah.
And they go down to Memphis, and they get beat up by second and third stringers because, you know, four or five of their starters are out with injuries, and they're just embarrassed down there. And Doc Rivers then goes to the press conference afterwards and says, you know, I don't know, you know, we're headed into the All-Star break. I think half my guys were actually here tonight, and the other half are already on the plane to Cabo, St. Lucas. And I'm like, oh, my God, Doc, what? And then, you know, you hear from guys that covered him in Boston or maybe when he was with the Clippers and say, that's Doc. Sometimes the knife is too short, man. Too sharp, too cutting, and that's how you lose a locker room, especially with these NBA egos. Well, on the surface, though, you've got Giannis saying, hey, man, this is our third coach in a year.
Right.
And we've gone from Bud to, you know, Coach Griffin to now this guy. We're changing. There's terminology that's changing, and we're doing this in the middle of a season. And you know, he's asking us to do things. And then last night they had a great game. They spotted the Clippers. Giannis, who's got some tendonitis in the Achilles, and Chris Middleton still got this. I think he's missed 11 games now with a sprained ankle. And Damian Lillard comes through with 41 points. And after the game, Lillard says this. He said, you know, when Doc got here, he came up to me right away and said, hey, you know, have you guys been running some of that stuff that you ran in Portland? Because some of those sets you have, man, I hated those things. They were tough to defend against. And Damian Lillard said, "No, man, we haven't run anything from Portland."
Hmm.
And Doc Rivers says, "Well, that's going to change." So Doc starts using some of the stuff from Portland, and look how it worked out for Lillard last night. And Lillard now is dealing that card, letting us know, after a six-game winning streak, and now the Bucks are playing like the projected team that everyone thought they should be. And basically, in a way, he's saying is, do you remember when Adrian Griffin parted with Terry Stotts, who was the longtime coach of Portland, a former Bucks head coach?
Oh, yeah.
So that's when Stotts is here for a week or two and says, wait, what, you're completely, what's the purpose of me being here? I thought I was here because we're bringing in Damian Lillard, and you're not going to use any of my stuff? Okay. So now you see that, and you know, here's the stuff that Doc Rivers is fixing. It has taken a while. It seems like this group of veteran players are now listening to what Doc does. They're adjusting how they move, particularly on defense and shifting. There's probably a little bit of a kick of the pants going on there too. And I'm sure somewhere down the road we'll even hear more of the story. I know that there was a meeting when they were practicing the night before the win against the Timberwolves that they had. That was a big game because the Timberwolves are, you know, atop the Western Conference.
Right.
But there'll probably be more things we hear as you know, as the year goes on. But right now, it looks like we now know why Rivers was hired, and now that they have a shot of fixing those things and getting the most out of this roster.
What about the Badgers, Mike? Are we going to be? I can't do the NIT. Do they have a shot if they can?
Yeah, they're in danger of not even getting to the tournament.
I know.
First or second time in like 20 years or something. I was talking to a buddy of mine that covers him up in Madison, and he's not in the hot seat, is he, Greg Gardner? I don't think he is.
Really?
No. But, you know, let's understand, if they flame out here, which it looks like, they drop from sixth to out of the top 25, and they didn't even get a vote.
They didn't get any vote. Yeah, exactly.
They didn't get a vote on Monday. They're in serious danger of maybe not getting to the NCAA tournament, to March Madness. And then what's next year going to be like for Greg Gard for recruiting? Not
right.
Good.
Yeah, exactly.
Not good at all. So, yeah, he's got to figure something out quickly here because they're running out of games.
Mike, I as always, appreciate your time. Do you have anything you can recommend TV-wise or movies? Anything that jumped out at you?
No, but, you know, I wanted to track down that long shot thing
you
talked about, and I was Googling that, and there's like four or five different movies. There's like a Seth Rogen movie that was out 4 years ago.
Oh.
There was like a politics rom-com, you know, if you will.
Yeah. I sent you a link to the one.
Slapshot. I just saw the link.
Oh,
that
Slapshot's
great. So this is a true story from about 20 years ago. A guy is accused of murder, and his alibi is, you know, no, I was someplace else. And somehow Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm's footage.
You have to see it.
This guy's life, and I don't want to spoil it, but this looks great. I want to check that out.
Yeah, he has to prove he was at a Dodgers game with his daughter, I think with his daughter, which is where he was, but he threw the ticket away. So his alibi was tossed into the garbage, and he's accused of murder.
All right, don't tell me anymore.
And that's all you need to know. Yeah,
but two quick stories.
Yeah.
Two quick stories.
Yeah.
This you do the networking, and there's a guy that used to cover the Vikings that now has been with the Broncos the last 2 years, and he said, "So how's your meeting with Goody?" I said, "Good. We talked for about an hour." I said, "You know, bottom line, he's got to get Jordan Love signed. That's, you know, they'll get Jordan Love, they'll get Aaron Rodgers back. You know, AJ Dillon's probably not going to be back. Blah blah blah." And I said, "How was yours?" He says, "Yeah." He said, "You know, Sean Payton had us Monday night." "Oh, really? Interesting. The night before everything started." "Yeah." "And how was that?" He goes, "It went 6 hours." It was all off the record, but it went 6 hours. All football.
All off the record? Like nothing he can even use?
You know, and then they released Russell Wilson at quarterback yesterday. So in other words, this guy, Sean Payton, laid the foundation with the inner circle of beat reporters and then to say, this is the nonsense that's been going on with this guy for the last 2 years. Isn't that unbelievable?
That is.
And I actually said that to a Packers guy, and he said his jaw dropped. Like, I said, you know, I like you guys, but I don't want to sit in a six-hour meeting with you.
No,
I mean, come on. So Mike. That's how good the Packers are.
They
feel they've got all the whether they're going to get. There's four or five running backs they like in the draft. There's a couple guys that they can pick up, you know, for cheap and free agency. They're not going to make any big signings the first week of free agency. They'll pick up like a Rasul Douglas, a Keyshawn Nixon, you know, guys like that that they think they can help their team that they don't have to back up the Brinks truck for.
Right.
And they feel really good. And the biggest thing is, what are they going to have to pay Jordan Love this May or June?
Mike, thanks so much. Always fun. And let's talk more during free agency. It's always great to catch up, buddy. You're the best.
Sounds good, Pete.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate your show, man.
Always. Thank you, Mike.
Bye.
Appreciate you too, buddy. That's Mike Clemens. I'd like to thank all my guests tonight on Nightlight. Rob Thomas, Jimmy Cuska, Mike Clemens. And thank you, as always, for your text. So great to spend this time together at night talking about entertainment and the things that make life great. I'm Pete Schwabe. I will be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin. Take me to your best friend's house, Mama.